I was born in a southwestern Ontario in 1952 at Woodstock General Hospital. The city is called the Dairy Capital of Canada and also called the Friendly City. Notice I said noted, not sure why or how this title was developed. Woodstock is close to 130 kilometers from Toronto City Hall and approximately 43 kilometers from London and Stratford, home to Justin Bieber. Reading through notes that were acquired, it says I was born on two different dates. One says July 25th, 1952, and the other says July 12th, 1952. The reason I'm expressing this presently is I just found out this today, along with having so many names in my paperwork. My first name usually remained the same throughout my full 18 years plus extension by courts. I was called Shelley Marie, then Shelley Luann, and then Luann, approximately four last names, according to where I resided and which foster home I was in. Imagine being a little girl who never knew who she really was. This type of name changes should never happen to children, in my opinion. This has added stress to a child placed from home to home unless they are adopted by a family. Even when your school report cards or your confirmation in a Catholic church, you are suddenly shockingly named someone else. This type of event happened every few months, especially when school began. I remember overhearing teachers saying to my foster mom, "Well, what is her name? What do you people call her?" I had different ladies, which I found out recently were my social workers, and I was raised to be seen but not heard. This old saying wasn't meant to keep me uninformed and naive to what the worker and my caregiver were saying. This saying was a type of reprimand towards me so that I wouldn't interfere or have a voice. I was allowed to be around the kitchen table when I was being discussed. Possibly they never realized that silencing a child leads to opportunity to abuse their power in many different painful ways. This will be discussed further on one of my podcasts. Feelings of disrespect and name-calling were just a part of my life. When I spoke up regarding things, I was called a chatterbox. This was the farthest thing from my mind then. For example, I never liked beans for supper, although they were baked slowly in the oven. The taste made me feel like I would vomit right on the table. I expressed this to the worker and my foster mom, and I was instructed to go immediately to my room. I couldn't understand why. They were talking about my likes and dislikes, so why couldn't I say that? There was a lot of pretense happening with my foster parents I've had. I've done some research on this and realized that many older people think this way today. Might I add that in no way was I having a temper tantrum, which basically means I had no outbursts of emotion, even though I felt I had needs that were not being met. I had very little positive attention when I was between the ages of 6 months to 11 years old. I was never given what I wanted, so to me, turning a deaf ear or a blind eye is wrong in my opinion. It leads to low self-esteem, resentment, and me being able to express myself when I was numerously sexually assaulted. This has been a cause partially to my emotional issues today. I felt like an object most of my life. This suffering had, as a child, has made me leave the meetings on my own and stay upstairs in my room. I felt so angry sometimes with everybody, questioning myself over and over, why me? So I was born at approximately 9:20 p.m. and my mother acquired 2 stitches from a slight laceration. I was born as a normal birth that was full term by my Negroid 17-year-old mother, weighing in at 6 pounds, 8.5 ounces. Everything looked within normal condition. I was being breastfed when the hospital released me into my mother's care after 4.5 days. My mother's health condition was fair, so I was taken to my grandmother's home, and then I went to a husband and wife home on July 20th, 1952. Here I was placed on a private adoption list of probation. My religion is Roman Catholic at this time of being under foster care. I do not recall who these people were. I don't know for sure, but I have a picture of myself standing on an old wood chair holding on for dear life. I remember lots of pictures were being taken by a lady and a man. Not sure if they were the foster parents or who they were. I'm wearing a clean, wide-fitting dress and barefoot. My hair is fluffy, loose, and brown with a reddish tinge curls. My face was all cleaned up. Apparently, these pictures were used to try to find another placement for me. The parents I were with had financial difficulties and marital problems. And I have a feeling now that I did hear a lot of shouting and the lady crying. I also faintly remember cows mooing and chickens and roosters crowing in the morning. It was a farm just west of Woodstock that I was on. The foster parents called London Children's Aid as they felt they couldn't manage or keep me anymore. This was in June of 1953. I would be turning 1 year old soon. At the time of moving from farm, my mom was called by London to be returned to her care. But somehow I ended up at my grandma's home, and there was a new baby sister there. I was picked up by the worker from London and delivered to the office of Woodstock, and the worker stated she wouldn't leave Woodstock with me in my family's home because my grandmother had too many medical issues and stated she was unable to care for 2 babies and my mom just wouldn't. My grandmother may have been a double amputee at this time or possibly brittle diabetes. I'm not sure presently when her surgery happened. My grandmother disclosed some information that I'm still not able to confirm. Who's my father? My father was said to be a truck driver. They queried whether he was white, and they queried that his last name was Smith. There are families of white ancestry and black ancestry in Woodstock. So this is basically a long shot to be able to research and find my dad. I will tell you later in a podcast regarding my DNA test completed in 2020 and the shocking results. The worker's name says my name is Shelley Luann, and I've lived nearly a year with the above foster parents So I was able to drink homogenized milk and ate cream of wheat and pablum in the morning. I used to have rashes when I was getting teeth, so they used mutton fat on my bum. I weighed around 18 pounds then, and I had 7 teeth. But I never crawled, I only held on to furniture, trying to walk. I was fed on demand, which is contradicting theories. Babies that are fed on demand are academically superior to babies fed on schedule. On demand means no strict schedule or checking time from the last feed to the next feed. Usually, if you feed on demand, the baby will cry and suck their hand and thumbs. This is probably why it's reported that I had a habit of sucking my thumb, and I'd suck it constantly, and there was always blisters on it. The end of my podcast for today. Thank you. Hi, welcome to my number 7 podcast. When I was around 6 years old, I felt a big excitement in the house. You know the feeling when you get butterflies in your stomach? Well, that's the feeling I got that day when I woke up. I had heard a lot of soft talking in the evening between my foster dad and my foster mom. So, in the morning, I came downstairs and I had my usual breakfast of Red River cereal. It actually looks like bird seeds, and 2 scoops of brown sugar and some fresh milk that had been delivered the day before. As soon as I put down my spoon, I was told by my foster mom to go get my hair care stuff. So I went into her room and loaded up a little tray and brought it back to the table in the kitchen. That's when I saw my foster mom put the comb on the stove fire. Oh no, I thought. I don't want to get my ears burned again. So I had a small little towel, so I put it around my shoulders. And then my foster mom slathered all around my neck, my ears, and my forehead some Vaseline. I had to try to sit up straight, as always instructed, on this wooden chair with a pillow on top. It was always a balancing act for me to sit properly without leaning right or left. So today's style was called ringlet curls. So my foster mom got the comb and put it in through my hair, parting it bit by bit until she designed my whole head with ringlet curls. Most of them are about 5 inches long and bouncy, so when I turn my head, they would bounce back and forth. My foster mom told me to go get dressed in my second best Sunday dress and bring my yellow sweater. My second Sunday dress was soft, lime green, and lots of satin and some lace trim. So I put on my lace stockings too that matched. They were actually white, and my black hard shoes, and came running downstairs. My foster dad was ready, my foster mom said. So I ran outside and there was this huge car. Now I know it was a powder blue Cadillac. So my foster dad had brought a huge bed sheet with him and carefully tied it around my neck. So I said, Dad, where are we going? And why am I wearing this sheet? So at first he said nothing. He just rolled up his eyes. So he got all the car going with buttons and Inside was all silver with blue seats. So he popped out buttons, turned on the radio, and we were leaving Woodstock. And so we hit the highway, and that's when my foster dad said, "We're heading to Windsor." So he said, "I don't want you vomiting in the car like you did on the last trip." I felt so ashamed at that time. So anyway, we got on the 401 and blasted up the music, and away we go. So I never got sick any time he brought his sheet. The end of my 7th podcast. Hope you enjoy. Bye.